Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson, or actually the first lesson from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, but right in the middle. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. This is the text. And so, we have an incident, and Philip is sent out, and going out, he goes to the road leading down from Jerusalem to Gaza and meets an Ethiopian there. Coincidence? That's a question. Coincidence? No. Because who is in charge? It is Jesus Christ who is building his kingdom. Jesus Christ who is doing what he does as the Savior of the world. So the title for the sermon: the Lamb, the Plan, the Sending, the Hearing, the Baptism, the Celebration. Starting out with the Lamb. He gets there, and the Ethiopian is, by some chance, he's reading a passage from Isaiah that talks about, like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Can you tell me who this is about? That is a question. Jesus. Is that so obvious that it's really hard to miss? Wow. You know, our Sunday school kids, from the youngest ones, could probably tell. Oh, this is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Pause there. There's something I have been saying for a number of years. There is one thing, only one thing, that fits right in the middle, that makes everything make sense. And that is the one fact that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is risen from the dead. He conquered. He forgave our sins. He died for us. He rose for us. That's the one thing. It's all about Jesus. Let me drag another fellow in here. A fellow by the name of Saul, also known as Paul. A student of the Bible. He studied under Gamaliel. He knew all of these Old Testament prophecies, backwards and forwards and inside out. There was one detail he was missing. Without that detail, what was religion to him? It was God's rules of you better do this, you better do that. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, you don't get saved. You have to do this in order to make your way into heaven. You have to do this in order to win forgiveness, in order to win salvation, in order to win eternal life. And when it turns into that, for Paul, for Saul, it was a matter of enforcing the regulations of the law. He did not see it because he didn't have that one piece. Think of it like a puzzle. And the one piece in the center missing, and without that piece, well, you've managed to cram all of the other pieces into place, but it doesn't make a picture that works very well, does it? And then you say, oh, there's that one piece. Put it into place, and all of a sudden, all of the other pieces around it shift and change, and now religion looks completely and totally different. Another illustration, let's wander even further off. It's like a Rubik's Cube, where they tell me that when you see it, it goes together and fits and solves easily. I have not yet seen it. But that's what they tell me. If I ever see it, then I'll know. So the one piece is what the Ethiopian is reading as he rides along. Oh, he's a religious man. He went up to Jerusalem to worship. And, detail, historical detail, books were expensive in those days. He had managed to save his money and buy a scroll of Isaiah, a prized possession for him to take back to Ethiopia. So he's reading it as he goes along, and he comes to the part of, like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. What's this mean? He has no clue. He does not understand it. Will somebody guide me through? Well, you know, our Sunday school kids, even the youngest ones, could probably tell him this part. Why, this is about Jesus. Let's drag in a couple more verses from Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then comes this verse. What an amazing opportunity just to tell about Jesus. Just to fit that one piece in place that all of a sudden will transform the entire world, the entire life of the Ethiopian, the entire life of the Ethiopian and anyone else that he's able to tell this to. And so Philip begins to explain to him and goes on and tells him about Jesus Christ. One little note to toss in here. That's why you come to church here, you're going to hear about Jesus. You will hear about Jesus, Jesus, and only Jesus, because he is the one piece of good news, the one message, the one word of God, the one part of God's plan that makes everything else make sense. And I could stand up here and I could tell you the ins and outs of the commandments and this and that and all of these things in the Old Testament that I've learned through studying it for years and years and years, but that wouldn't mean a thing unless it was connected to Jesus Christ and what he has done, so that the message for us is sins forgiven, salvation accomplished, heaven free, new life, a gift from God, and that just simply done by God and given to us. What an amazing thing we are sent out to share with the world. That's what this is all about. And so, the Lamb Jesus Christ, the plan. God has this plan that he puts in place, and his plan is to take this message of life and spread it all over the world to every nation and every language and every household, so that all hear about Jesus and that free gift of life in him. That's the plan. But always there is a bit more to say. And if you turned to earlier in Acts chapter 8, you would read these words. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. They were scattered because, again, it was a fellow by the name of Saul, also known as Paul, who was going around arresting Christians and having them locked up. And Christians were suffering. And Christians were dying for the name of Jesus. And Saul was in the middle of that. And as he did these things, the Christian church was scattered all over the place. And as they went, they told about Jesus. Such a plan. Would any church, any congregation put that plan into their own writing and say, well, this is the plan. We intend to be in utter confusion and to be scattered all over the place, and as this happens, we'll just tell about Jesus wherever we go. I don't think so. That's the kind of plan that human beings wouldn't have anything to do with. But there is a Lord of the church, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ, who knows what he is doing. And so, you may consider this part of the pastor's report for the voters' assembly to come a little later. We learned how this actually works out over the last year. You know what kind of plans we had? We didn't know what we were doing. Trustees met, confused, uncertain. What are we going to do about the things that are happening? We had no plan. But somebody we know had a plan. And over the past year, things have been transformed from utter confusion to here we are in a new place, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the good news back and forth among us, rejoicing in God's goodness, amazed at how he has done this thing among us to preserve and to encourage and to push forward his kingdom. So it was with the early church. They didn't have the great plan. They were just going to tell about Jesus. That's enough. That was their part. Somebody else was going to make the arrangements of where and when and how and what the opportunities were that came along. And he does an amazing job, doesn't he? So Philip goes down to this road, the road leading to Gaza, and he runs across somebody there. Oh, by chance? No. By the plan of God. Who knows, who sees hearts, who sees the need that is there deep inside of us, who knows the need for the gospel in every human heart, who arranges and brings people into a connection with the message of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. This is what he does. And we've seen it happen among us. Isn't he an amazing Lord of the church and King of kings? And isn't it a delight to simply carry the message about Jesus wherever we go? So the Lamb, the plan, the sending, the angel tells Philip, go to this road, and Philip doesn't know why. Just go. We are sent wherever we go, to bring the message of Jesus, the hearing. And so, as the Ethiopian reads for himself the Word of God and starts asking these questions, Philip gets to say, you know, I can tell you who this is talking about. This is talking about my good friend Jesus. He's the Savior, he's the Lord, and he loves you too. The hearing. The Ethiopian hears the Word of God, and it connects. And now he knows. He knows that Jesus is the Savior. He knows that his sins are forgiven, and it is just that fast. When the Holy Spirit works and convinces you of the truth of who Jesus is, it happens. And in an instant, you know. This is the Savior. This is the Christ, and in his name I have forgiveness. This is the Savior, and he's calling me. He's calling me to be with him, to be his friend, to live forever with him. And the hearing happens deep, deep inside the soul. And so they come to water. What prevents me from being baptized? He's heard the Word of God. He knows who Jesus is. What prevents him from being baptized? Well, good point. And so Philip and the Ethiopian go down into the water, and he's baptized. and God puts his name on him, baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and he is adopted into God's family. He belongs. He's connected. See, Philip will go one way and the Ethiopian another very soon after that. And the Ethiopian will go along on his way, but he will not go alone. He will go with God, going with him, with God the Father watching over him, with Jesus Christ, his friend, within his heart and guiding his life, with the Holy Spirit teaching him more and more and more about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And this is God's plan. And then the Ethiopian is going to go, and he is going to carry that message of life with him back to Ethiopia. And the celebration. Does the Ethiopian go his way, impressed with how heavy a duty lies on his shoulders? He goes on his way rejoicing, celebrating. There's no more burden in life anymore. Celebrating. Because Jesus Christ has connected with him, brought him into the kingdom of God. And no matter what happens from this moment on, he belongs to God. Eternity stretches out in front of him, and his whole life is going to be a time of celebration, day after day after day, and on into eternity. That's how he goes along. Because he has learned about Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. About Jesus Christ who, how does that go again? Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.